Everybody's ready to hear from God and get a word. I know coming up with this week, sometimes things just flow. And this week I had a little bit of writer's block, I guess you could say. And so when you have those times, you just kind of dig deep inside your soul and kind of put out what you're feeling. And so today I'm going to give you that. And I just have this simple thought is God loves gratitude. God loves a thankful heart. God loves grateful people. And Psalm 100 says this, enter to his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and what? Bless his name. In other words, the first step that we do when we come into God's presence and approach him is to be thankful. Is to tell him thank you, to let him know that we're grateful for what he has done in our life. And if anybody should be grateful, it should be the people of God. Amen? Amen. If anybody has a right to say thank you, if anybody has a reason to say thank you, if anybody has a reason to be grateful and have joy in your heart, it should be the people of God. Why? Because we are blessed beyond measure because of what he has done in our life. Can anybody say a good amen? How many knows that you've been blessed more than you deserve? That it's just like the favor of God is pouring out on you and things that you can't even think of, things that you haven't even maybe thought of before, of the blessing of God that's in your life. And you're just going to have to excuse me today, but I'm thankful that I know who Jesus is. I'm thankful for the blood today. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for who Jesus is. And so we are grateful today for the cross. We're thankful and we're grateful for the love of God which has been poured out into our hearts. And we're thankful most of all for forgiveness. My sins have been forgiven. And so we should be a thankful people. You know, thankfulness and gratefulness opens the door of blessing in our life. That, as I just said, that the first thing that we do when we approach God is to approach him from a spirit of thanksgiving. But also, we have to keep that open. Why? Because if we become ungrateful and we become unthankful, it quenches the flow of the Spirit in our life. If you want to shut down the blessings of God in your life, become unthankful. Become ungrateful. But if you want to keep those blessings flowing, be grateful. Say, thank you, Lord, for this day. And here's what happens. The more you thank God, the more you see God that you need to thank him for. The more grateful you are, the more you see in your life of what God is doing that you don't deserve. And I want to tell you that it's necessary to give thanks and to be grateful for our prayers to be effective. That Paul often says in his letters that we come and we pray with thanksgiving in our heart. And I want to really dig in this today because gratitude has to become a habit. Gratitude has to become a mindset. Everything that happens in life, we can give thanks to God for something. No matter where you're at today, no matter what's going on in your life today, there is something that you can praise God for. There's something somewhere that he did that you can thank him for. If you're hurting today, I want to tell you the best medicine for you is probably just to be thankful for something. To be grateful for something. Get your eyes off your current situation and say, God, I thank you for what you've done in my life. I wonder if we could do that right now. If we could lift up our hands, say, I thank you, Jesus, for breath in my body today. I thank you, God, for all your blessings. So it has to become a habit. And we have to live in that mindset that there's so much I have that I don't deserve. And so gratitude opens up awareness of the many blessings that God has bestowed upon you. And the more gratitude you have, the more you realize of what you have to be thankful for. Now, what's the opposite of a spirit of gratitude? And that is an attitude that's becoming more and more prevalent in our culture, in our society. And that's an attitude of entitlement. And that is this, I'm owed things. And so you don't thank God. You don't thank other people. And you think that God owes you things. Let me just help you really, really quick. This will really help you if you understand this. God doesn't owe you anything. Amen. God doesn't owe you anything. He is Lord of all the universe, and we are just his creation. And he doesn't owe us anything. And so anything that we experience in this life that's good, that's blessing, we don't deserve. And it's only by grace, and we're going to talk more about that in a minute. But this attitude of entitlement is really becoming prevalent in our culture, and that is, you owe me. You owe me these things. I'm owed these things. I'm owed happiness. I'm owed all these things. And I want to tell you, if you want to turn God away, become entitled. Become demanding of him. Become just expecting that he perform certain things in your life on your timeline and the way you want it. And I want to tell you, that will close down the flow of blessing in your life. But when you become thankful and you become grateful to what God's done in your life, it's that kind of person that God loves to bless. Why? Because it's like a river that just keeps flowing. The more he blesses us, the more we're grateful, the more glory we give back to him, the more he can trust us to bless us. Amen? And there's a story today I want to really focus on in Luke chapter 17. And it's a story of Jesus healing 10 lepers, and we'll just read it here. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a village, and he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And they went, and they were cleansed. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way, for your faith has made you well." And this man was the only one. There were 10 lepers that were kind of maybe off to the side of the road to where Jesus was passing through. And when you had leprosy in that day, they would put you kind of in a colony and you were quarantined from everybody else. And Jesus is walking by, and they see Jesus walking by, and they ask that they would be healed. And Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Now that was everything. That was because the priest kind of determined who could and couldn't be around everybody. And so there was a very kind of a religious / medical role that priests played. And so Jesus is telling them, "Go show yourself to the priest in faith. You've been healed." And as they're going, that they realize that they've been healed. And one of them, only one of them, turns around and goes back to thank Jesus for the healing. And I want to show you 4 things specifically that this leper does that shows us a spirit of gratitude. And in verse 15, it said, "Then one of them, when he saw that when he was healed, turned back." He turned back to find Jesus. And the first thing that this man did, I think, that we can learn from is this. Gratitude makes the extra effort. Gratitude makes the extra effort. Gratitude, a spirit of gratitude, will make you go out of your way to make the person know that you are thankful for what they've done. And so this man, he turned back. He made the extra effort. We don't know how far he had walked before he realized that he was healed. But when that happened, he was the only one who made the extra effort to go back and to find Jesus and let him know how much he appreciated what he did. And I'm going to use a different mic here. And he let him know how much he appreciated what had happened. And I just wonder if those percentages hold. I just wonder if only 10% of people who have been healed by Jesus, people who have been saved by Jesus, really have a spirit of thanksgiving in their heart. When's the last time that you really thanked God for what he's done in your life? When's the last time you said, "Lord, I just want to thank you for saving me. I want to thank you, God, for healing me. God, I want to thank you, Lord, for all the blessings in my life." I don't want to ever get that spirit of entitlement in my life. I want to remember where I was when Jesus found me. Come on, somebody. Somebody preach with me this morning. And here's the thing. Walking a few minutes out of his way was a small price to pay for being healed of leprosy. In other words, really making the extra effort To say thank you is a small price for the blessings that we receive. It doesn't cost you anything to get up in the morning and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. Lord, I just want to thank you for today. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for food on my table and clothes on my back. It's not going to cost you anything, but God loves it when we make the extra effort to do that. And I just want to tell everybody, thank you for the love that you have shown Danielle and I in the last few weeks. So many gifts, so many people have brought food and so many things I can't even start. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you haven't received a thank you note yet, please understand we are crazy and busy and crazy. And so if you don't get a note, please know we are thankful for all you know. Let's just give our church family a hand right now. How it is, we have the best church family around. And here's what I want to show us today is that people who don't make the effort, the extra effort to show gratitude really aren't thankful. That having gratitude but not showing it is like having a present and wrapping it but never giving it. You have to show it. And this man was the only person to show and demonstrate gratitude. And here's what I want to show us too is that it gives us some biographical information about this guy. It says that he was a Samaritan, and presumably the other nine were Jewish. He was a foreigner. In other words, he wasn't really trained in the ways of God like the other nine were. And I just wonder if maybe the other nine had a spirit of entitlement. And that spirit was, we're God's people. We get all the good stuff. That's what God's supposed to do. He's supposed to heal me. He's supposed to give me these blessings. But this one man who may not have had a deep enough knowledge of God like he should, he had enough sense to know that he had no business experiencing the blessings of God and the healing like he should. And so he said, you know what? I'm going to go back and I'm going to find that man and I am going to thank you. And I want to tell you that sometimes the longer we walk with God and the more we experience his blessings, it just becomes natural just to live in them and not really be grateful for them. We just get used to walking into church. We get used to hearing the name of Jesus. We get used to seeing healings. We get used to seeing the supernatural in our life. And oftentimes we can become entitled. And the first time God doesn't answer the prayer, we walk away and we become ungrateful. But I think I'm talking to some people today that you're never going to forget what Jesus did for you. If he never answers another prayer in your life, he's done so much already. I cannot tell it all. Come on, somebody. I wonder if somebody could raise your hands and stand on your feet and say, Jesus, I'm grateful today. I'm never going to forget. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Does anybody remember? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And here's the thing, the more you give entitled people, the more they expect. Oh, come on, somebody. The more you give entitled people, the more they expect. And I'm just going to, we see this here at church, and we love to bless people. We love to help people. There's some people that they just, they're not in a position to help themselves. And they'll stop by the office, and we love to help them. But every once in a while, you'll see the more you give, the more they expect. And very rare do you get a thank you. Why? Because it's a spirit of entitlement. And that can seep into our spiritual life, where we've experienced so many blessings, so many things have transpired in our life that only God could do. And then the first problem comes along that maybe he doesn't answer the prayer overnight. And we say ridiculous things. Well, God's forgotten about me. God doesn't love me. It's funny, mom and dad were telling me, this was a few years ago, they were counseling with a woman who doesn't attend this church. And she was going through a rough time in her life, and she's had a blessed life. Trust me, if anybody's had a blessed life, it's her. And she looked at them and she said, sometimes I just think God hates me. And then she left the dinner and got into her brand new Volvo. Come on, somebody. I think this spirit is strong in America, right? where we are more blessed than 95% of the world, and the first problem comes along and we become ungrateful. And so we need to make sure that we don't have this spirit of entitlement in our life. And one of the ways that we can monitor this is the nature of our prayers. Is your prayer list just nothing but a shopping list for God and a grocery, do this, do that, fix this, fix that? Or is anywhere in your prayers, is there room for thanksgiving where you start your prayers with, God, before I say anything, before I ask anything, I just want to let you know I'm thankful. God, I just want to let you know, God, if nothing ever comes of these prayers, I just want to let you know that I'm grateful that I can even pray, that I even know your name. Amen. That we got to enter into his presence with thanksgiving, not with entitlement. And so one of the reasons that we're here today is said that this man, he turned back and he went to where he found Jesus. And that's why we're here today, is that we are coming back to the place where God's done so much for us. And so every week when we come into this place, we enter to his gates with thanksgiving, and we come back just to say thank you. If nobody gets healed here today, and if nothing quote-unquote supernatural happens, if nothing else, we're here to say thank you. We're here to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And so gratitude has to become a habit. I want to tell you, if you want to change your relationships and you want to change the way people perceive you, you need to learn two words: thank you. You know, it will really, if you show gratitude to people, I can just speak of my own personal life. The more people show me gratitude, the more I want to do for them because I know they appreciate it. And I know, you know, we don't do things for people out of selfish motives, but you know what I'm saying. And if you want to, you know, relight the fire in your marriage, you know, sometimes I hear people say, well, you know, our marriage, the fire's out. Well, bro, you got to put some logs on that fire. Come on now. You got to put some logs on that fire. And sometimes the way we do that is just by showing gratitude, by being thankful. Man, you need to sneak up on your wife. She's washing your dishes on the food she fixed for you to eat, and give her a little peck on the cheek and say, thank you. I want to tell you, that'll get that fire burning. Y'all are giggling, but you know it's true. We need to get some thank yous going in our marriages, in our relationships. Open up the door of gratitude. Let the people who do the most for you in your life, let them know that you're thankful for what they do. I want to thank all of our police officers that make sure we're safe here today. I want to thank all of our paramedics, our EMTs, our firemen. Thank you. Last summer, we went on a cruise as a family, and you know how, if you've ever been on a cruise, every night you kind of eat at the same place, and a few tables away was a World War II vet, and every night when we walked by him, I said, thank you. I can be on a cruise tonight because you slept in a trench, maybe in Europe somewhere in a cold, damp trench, and you fought for my freedom, so I can be on a cruise tonight. Thank you. Thank you. And here's the thing, that the extra effort to say thank you, really, when you put it in perspective, isn't an extra effort compared to the blessings that you've received. All right, so the first thing is we want to make the extra effort to show gratitude. Number two, gratitude motivates me to worship. Gratitude motivates me to worship. Luke chapter 17 and verse 15, again, it said, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and then praising God with a loud voice. In other words, this man was pushed and motivated to worship Jesus because of the gratitude that was in his heart. And I want to tell you that we need to have a spirit of thanksgiving in our worship. That when we come in here and we lift our hands and we become so thankful, that it should be demonstrated. You have to demonstrate gratitude, and you have to demonstrate gratitude with words. And this man, he praised God with a loud voice. And as some of you are new here, we like to praise God with a loud voice. Number one, he deserves it. Number two, it's biblical. And number three, it just feels right. Does anybody come here today with a loud voice? I wonder if I can get some people to stand today with a loud voice and say, thank you, Jesus.
for reaching down and saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for doing everything you've done for me. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. Somebody do it with a loud voice. Let him know. I'm not going to leave here today without Jesus knowing that I'm thankful for what he's done in my life. I'm going to express my gratitude. Amen. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm just not an expressive person. Until I write you a $5 million check, then you will probably thank me with a loud voice. But we have something so much greater here today than money. We've got joy that money can't buy. We got a salvation that money can't buy, but was only purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so I'm thankful today. I'm thankful today. Gratitude moves me to worship. And so true gratitude lets the person know that you're thankful. Feeling gratitude must be expressed. It's essential to our worship. I'm going to go back to Psalm 100. It said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks and bless his name. And then the next verse says, for the Lord is good. We serve a good God. Amen. Despite what the enemy is trying to lie to you and convince you about, God is a good God. Despite the battles you're facing today, despite what's going on in your life, God is a good God, and I'm thankful that I know this good God. For he is good, and what his love endures forever. God's love remains constant. Through the highs and the lows, God's love has remained constant in my life. Despite my best efforts to mess my life up, God's love has been constant in my life. When I've failed him, his love has been constant. When I've pleased him, his love has been constant. He is faithful and just to forgive us. How many knows that to be true? How many is thankful that God forgives sins? How many is thankful that God doesn't remember our iniquity against us? God doesn't hold our sin against us, but he forgives us and he loves us. Like the prodigal son came home and the father ran to meet him. That's the love of our father. You know, becoming a father changes your perception of a lot of things. And changes your perception of God. And I could tell you, if I could love little George and little Elise and my imperfect love, how much more does God love us? Somebody needs to thank him for his love today. Thank you, God, for your love. And how did he demonstrate this love to us? By giving us the car of our dreams? No. How did he demonstrate this love for us? By giving us the man or woman of our dreams? No. By giving us the house of our dreams? No. He demonstrated his love to us that while we were yet sinners, what, Christ died for us. That he loved me so much that he came to earth personally and he experienced pain. He experienced disappointment. Why? Because he loved me. I want to tell you, God loves you today. Don't you believe anything else? There is hope for you. Why? Because God loves you. And that's something to be thankful for. And his faithfulness to all generations. God's been faithful. He's been faithful to me. Maybe things haven't gone always the way I want it to go, but he's been faithful. When I haven't been faithful, he's been faithful. He's kept his word. He's kept his end of the promise. And I want to tell you, if you just give him a chance, he will do the same thing for you today. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says that we should speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, how giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Is that everywhere we go, we should have a song of thanksgiving in our heart. We should be talking to one another and be thanking God amongst one another. We should always have a song of thanksgiving. And what that tells me is that at the foundation of worship is thanksgiving. At the foundation of worship isn't a spirit of entitlement, not a spirit of constant petition, but a spirit of constant thanks. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. I thank you, God, for what you're doing. And I thank you for what you're going to do. Amen. Sometimes we need to thank him in advance. Lord, I thank you in advance for the way you're going to heal little George. I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. Why? Because you've done it once, and you're going to do it again. I've seen you work miracles before, and I know that what you have saved up is going to be better than what you did last. So I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for the answer for the situation I'm going through. I thank you, Lord. Worship is how we express our gratitude to God for what he has done. And there are no preachers in heaven. There's no evangelists in heaven. There's no apostles or whatever you want to name. Really, when you think about it, at the end of the day, all there is in heaven are worshipers. Amen. You know what we're going to do when we get to heaven? We're going to take that crown that he's put on our head, and we're going to throw it right back at his feet as an act of worship. Why? Because the greatest gift that we can ever have is not a crown, but to be in the presence of the person who saved us. To be in the presence of the holy God who came to be with us. And so really, if you're not thankful here, you're not going to be thankful there. And so I want to practice. I want to be well practiced when I get to heaven with a spirit of thanksgiving. Can we do that again right now over this place? Let's lift up our hands. Let's thank him today. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. God is looking today for people that will worship him in spirit and truth, who will thank him, who will come back. And if he's looking for those people, I don't know about you, but he's going to find somebody right here. Amen. So the first thing this man did was he turned back. Second thing he did was he worshiped. Gratitude was expressed in worship. And the third thing he did is that gratitude reveals my attitude. His gratitude revealed his attitude. And in verse 16, it says that he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. You see, this wasn't just a, hey, I want to thank you for healing me for leprosy. Okay, great, see you later. No, he came running and shouting and fell at his feet. You know, when the word humble, when you look at it, the etymology of it is to get low. To fall at someone's feet, to be lower. And that's what this man had. He had a humble attitude. You know why he had a humble attitude? He knew he didn't deserve the blessing. He knew that he did not deserve what God had done for him. And so we don't find him face to face with Jesus. We find him at the feet of Jesus. And here's the thing, is that if you're not grateful, you're probably not humble. And the opposite of being humble is being prideful. And a prideful spirit is this: I can do this all on my own. I don't need God. I don't need help. But this man, he knew where he came from. He knew the blessing that God had given him. He knew that he didn't deserve it. And so for that, he was humble. And he was grateful to God. And here's the thing. Gratefulness expressed to God and to others acknowledges my need for him and my need for others. A grateful attitude acknowledges, I need you. I need you, God. I can't do this on my own. And here's the thing. We can fall into this deception. The longer we are in church, the longer we're, quote unquote, walking with God, we get a little overconfident and we think that we can do this without him. We think that we are either entitled for what he does for us, or this is that, God, I don't need you anymore. But this man knew that he should not have experienced the blessing that he had. And so he fell at Jesus' feet. And I want to tell you, sometimes we need to get back to where we found Jesus, and that was at his feet. That we had nothing to offer him. There was nothing that we could do to fix our sin problem. There was nothing that we could do to heal our bodies. There was nothing we could do to fix our dysfunctional families. But Jesus came in our life. He saved us. He changed our lives. And we have to remember, we have to go back to where we found Jesus. And that was at a place of need. And every day we've got to live at his feet in need. We got to live in a place of dependence upon him. And here's the thing, is that we have to realize, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I don't know why he did it. I don't know why, out of billions of people on the planet, many of whom are lost, I know who Jesus is. I had nothing to offer him but sin. But he chose us. He called us out, and he saved us today. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm thankful for that today. I'm thankful, why? Because I know who I really am. We can put on all the nice suits we want to. We can dress ourselves up all we want to. We can get all the pictures of success and the images of success that other people buy into. But at the end of the day, we all know where we came from. And that was a place of hopelessness and worthlessness. But when he found us, he gave us his best robe. He put a ring on our finger and he said, "You're my son, you're my daughter." And I'm thankful for that today. Some of us need to remember the broken condition we were at when Jesus found us. We were like this leper. We were hopeless. We had no hope. But he found us, and he said, "You're mine. You're mine. And the least I can do today is go just a little bit out of my way to say thank you. Jesus, I love you. I'll never forget." Some of us need to remember the drug-addicted condition we were at when Jesus found us. Some of us need to remember the broken place we were at when Jesus found us and go back to his feet and say, "Lord, I've gotten a little overconfident lately. God, I've gotten a little prideful lately, and I just haven't told you enough how much I love you." Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves." In other words, you didn't get a really good idea one day to find Jesus. Anything you have from God came from by his grace. The idea you got one day to come to church, guess who gave you that idea? God gave that idea to you. God gave that desire in your heart. Everything that we have is by grace. The grace of God isn't fair. And for that I say thank you. Because if God were fair, each and one of us would be struck dead the first sin we committed. But because he's patient, because he's loving, because he's kind, because he has grace, we're standing here today, healed, whole, in our right mind, loving a powerful God. And for that I say thank you. And he says, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In other words, nobody can really take credit for what God's done in our life. Nobody can really boast. We can only say thank you. And this Samaritan man, he knew this. He had no business experiencing that miracle. And unlike the other nine, who maybe were a little bit entitled, he knew he didn't deserve it. The first step away from God is this. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the end time apostasy, says they will be unthankful. Then he says unholy. And the first step away from God is to forget what he's done for you, to become unthankful. And if Satan can bring situations in your life to discourage you and get you to forget what God has done for you, and your relationship with God becomes performance-based in your mind, what you think, however he's performed, I want to tell you, that's the first step away from God. That we have to stay with an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving and praise to him. And I want to tell you this, you'll never walk away from God. To use an old school word, you'll never backslide. To backslide means to go away from God, to walk away from God. And you'll never backslide if you can remember what Jesus has done for you. On the worst day of your life, when you're going through discouragement and everybody else has disappointed you, I want to tell you, if you can just remember what God has done in your life, if you can remember the cross, if you can remember that day you were baptized into his name and your sins were washed away, in those moments, if you can remember what Jesus has done for you, you'll never walk away from him. You'll never forget what God has done in your life, because we don't deserve it. The fourth thing this man did, and that the story shows, is this: gratitude gets God's attention. Gratitude gets God's attention. As I said before, if you want to turn God off, become entitled. Who are we to give God a grade for how good he's been lately? But if you want to get God's attention, if you want to put God's spotlight on you, be thankful. Be grateful. So you see, Jesus, he sees what this man did. He sees his attitude, sees his gratitude. And it says, then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? In other words, this outsider. And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. That word for you well means this: to be saved. Jesus was saying, hey, bud, the other 9, they left with a temporary blessing of having their bodies healed. But I'm going to do something greater for you than just healing your body. I'm going to heal your soul. Because you've shown me gratitude, because you have an attitude of humility, and you know that you have a need for me, I'm going to fix what's going on inside, and your blessing, your healing is going to be eternal. And I want to tell you that I love supernatural healings. I love it when God heals people's bodies. That is great, and I would say that's necessary to be a part of the church. And we believe God does that here, amen? But even greater is when God changes somebody from the inside out and God saves us from our sin. That is the greatest miracle that you can ever experience in your life. And I want to let the world know, if God never heals George, he's done so much for me already. I can't help but be thankful. Why? Because I know that this is just temporary. This is just temporary. But what Jesus has done for me has an eternal significance. So if he never heals my body, Lord, I thank you, God, that you've saved me eternally. I thank you, God, you've washed my sins away. God, if I never get that dream house, God, if I never get the right car, God, if I go through seasons of disappointment, you've saved me. And all of those other things are temporary anyway. I want to tell you, the most important thing today isn't that you go home healed in your body. The most important thing today is that you go home healed right here. Because Jesus said, he said, fear him who what? Can destroy both body and soul in hell. There's going to be a lot of people that don't make eternity who had a healing. And all the healing is a testimony of the power of Jesus. And what he really wants is to do a work right here. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to say thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because this man expressed his gratefulness, he went home with an eternal miracle that would never die. Jesus did something for him that he didn't do for the other 9. I want to tell you, sometimes we can get our eyes focused on temporary situations. And really what it is a lack of trust and a lack of faith. But we got to keep our eyes on the eternal. God, I don't understand why this is going on. There's been a lot of good people who've had cancer that they didn't get healed and they died, but they still had the greatest miracle. And that is, they knew who Jesus was. They were forgiven. They were set free. They had the name of Jesus upon their life. And I want to tell you today, that's the kind of attitude that God responds to. Gratefulness gets God's attention. So I just want to end today. Last night, I just wrote down some things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful today. First of all, I want to set this up. I kind of sat down at our kitchen table at our new house that we're finally in. Amen. And I looked around at how God has been so good to me. And I thought about how hard I tried to screw it all up over the course of my life. Forgive my language. You know what I mean. But yet he's still been good. And so I wrote, I'm thankful today. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for out of the billions of people that I am called and I'm chosen to know God. I'm thankful that my sins are forgiven and I'm filled with God's Spirit. I'm thankful for every day of good health. I'm thankful that I have access to the perfect, eternal Word of God. A lot of people don't have that. I'm thankful for a beautiful, godly wife and two perfect children. I'm thankful that I live in a country that allows me to worship God freely. I'm thankful for access to doctors and great health care. I'm thankful for every day of good health. I'm thankful that my good days outnumber my bad days. I'm thankful for food on my plate, clothes on my back, and a roof over my head. I'm thankful to help lead and be part of a Spirit-filled church that is passionate about Jesus. I'm thankful for family and friends who would do anything to help me. I'm thankful that God has given me talents and abilities to serve Him with. I'm thankful that I know who holds the future and that my future is greater than my past. Is anybody thankful today? Can we stand upon our feet today? And can we lift up our hands and can we express our thanksgiving to God? We thank you, Jesus. Somebody.